Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. James chapter 3. And shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to be in your house this morning. And we do acknowledge your presence with us and that we need your help and your power and your direction. We need understanding from you. We need then the power to so live what we see from your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. James chapter 3 and verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Well, the title of the message is Closer Than You Think to the Fire of Hell. Well, you probably get the gist already of what we're talking about. How close does a Christian ever get to the fire of hell? You may say, well, we don't even get close. And that's our first thought. And we don't as far as being cast into hellfire. But we're really close to hellfire, real close, with our mouths. And I'm not talking about losing salvation here. Notice in 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. Our salvation is based upon Jesus' pure and sinless blood. And that is why salvation is secure. And that is why churches that teach that salvation can be lost, that's why there is such a problem with that. It's not a little error. That's a huge error. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the what? Righteousness of God in him. So we are made the righteousness of God in Jesus. So when I'm talking about being close to the fire of hell, we're not talking about losing our salvation. It's back here in James chapter 3. It's verse 6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. The first problem we have with our tongues is, number one, if you're taking notes, our tongues are know-it-alls. Verse 1. My brethren, be not many what? Masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. This tongue seems to think it knows everything, but it doesn't. You know, the devil spoke to Eve as if he knew it all. Notice in Genesis 3, the devil spoke real easily against what God said so clearly. In Genesis chapter 3, so when our tongue speaks as if it's a know-it-all, then we're following the devil. We're following the fire of hell. In Genesis 3 and verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, what? Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So The devil is speaking as a know-it-all. Oh, that's not right. You won't die. God just knows if you eat of this tree, then you'll be like him. That's why he doesn't want you to partake. The tongue so easily speaks as if it knows it all, as if it knows more than God. Look at Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28. That is why Satan fell, because of his pride. His pride. As if he was greater, as if he knew more than God. In Ezekiel 28, in verse 14, Ezekiel 28:14, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of what? Thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee." So Satan fell because of his pride, and that's how we fall too. And so many times our pride, our fall, and our pride is shown by what we say. It comes out the mouth. Notice in Proverbs 16, when we start to speak in pride as if we know it all, that's the time we will fall. Proverbs 16:18. What's the first word? Pride. Pride goeth before what? Destruction. And an haughty spirit before what? A fall. I was getting gas yesterday. Maybe some of you noticed at the Meyer gas station, but that little bank building that's been for sale, it was a State Farm building. First it was built for a bank building, and then it went to a State Farm building, and then that man passed away, and so his wife was trying to sell it all these years, and now I just saw yesterday that a crane has just tore off the drive-through roof, and I don't know if they're going to tear the whole building down, but I know it's part of the problem in town is if you have a commercial building and you can't sell it, they still make you keep paying taxes on it, and sooner or later you have to make the decision, well, if I can't sell it, do I just tear the building down? And that's what they've done in some spots, like the old roller castle there. They finally just tore it down. Somebody had to keep paying taxes and taxes. And pride goeth before destruction, and haughty spirit before a fall. So it comes out of our mouths. Look in chapter 11, verse 2. Proverbs 11, verse 2. Proverbs 11, 2. When pride cometh, then cometh what? Shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. So the moment we get prideful about something, it just guarantees we're going to have shame over that same matter. In recent weeks, if you've heard the news, there's a famous football coach, and he was just fired this week. And some agree with why he was fired, and some don't agree. Some think that he did as much as he could under the circumstances that was going on, and others think he should have done more. And anyway, he was fired. And so, a long, long career and highly revered, and suddenly is fired. Look at Proverbs 18. A man, I think he's 84 years old, was soon going to retire with seemingly high honors, and now evidently not. But Proverbs 18, verse 13. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and what? Shame unto him. You know, so many times, and I'm sure we're all guilty of this, but, you know, we'll hear something go on in government or in something, and, you know, it's like, how much do we really know what's going on? Now, sometimes we ask, how much do they really know what's going on? And sometimes when they pass bills and they say, let's hurry up and pass this so we can read it. And we're thinking, what did you just say? You want to pass this bill and then read it? What's wrong with you? But there are so many things that we don't know what's going on. But boy, we're quick to give our opinion, aren't we? We are so quick to give our opinion. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. There's so many things that we don't know, so many things that are of a security matter that you just can't speak openly to the world that we don't know. We don't know how many secret things are going on. We have no clue. But we do have a responsibility to pray for our leaders, for their salvation, and that they would make godly decisions. And then we need to pray when election times come too, that we would make the right choices as well. But so James, let's go back to James 3. Our tongues are know-it-alls. And that puts us real close to the fire of hell, because that's where Satan is going to end up. And that was his first temptation to mankind. Satan came along as a know-it-all. Oh, God says this. Well, I happen to know differently. I happen to know better than God. I happen to know if you eat of that tree, you'll be like God. And God's just keeping back something good from you. Satan was the first know-it-all. And when we are that way, we're in his camp. Number two, our tongues are habitual offenders. Our tongues are habitual offenders. Look in James 3, verse 2. James 3, 2, 4, in what? Many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. For in many things we offend all. I said something Wednesday night, and later I thought, I shouldn't have said that. It wasn't in the right spirit. And I just, boy, that really made me feel bad. And in the middle of the night, about 3 o'clock, I woke up and my ear was really hurting. And I've had a history of chronic ear infections in my left ear. So if you say something to me today on my left side and I don't respond, it's because I can't hear you. Okay, it's just, there's nothing here. So anyway, I woke up at 3 o'clock and my ear was just pounding. And then 5 o'clock began to drain, and 7 o'clock began to bleed. And that's just the way it is with me. It just comes on fast. And so here, you know, I'm laying there in pain and the whole day. And the Lord just kind of used that as an illustration. You know, how many things do we say, then it goes in people's ears, and it hurts. And it hurts them bad. And I just thought of that because of, in verse 2, there are many things we offend all. And I just thought about that statement I made Wednesday night, and I just thought, you know, I wonder how many dumb things I've said in my life that's hurt people. Just like right now, my ear is killing me. I wonder how many things I have said to people that really hurt them. And maybe I didn't even realize it. Maybe I did realize it. I don't know. And I'm not talking about saying the truth, because I realize sometimes the truth is offensive to people because they don't want to hear the truth. Look at Matthew 15. Sometimes Jesus offended people, but it's because he was speaking the truth. And of course, we need to speak the truth in love. But Matthew 15, Matthew chapter 15, and verse 12. Matthew 15, verse 12. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were what? Offended. After they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. So I understand there's that aspect of it. But what I'm talking about, when our tongues, as James 3:6 said, display the fire of hell, I'm not talking about the times we speak the truth and in love, but in fact, let's go to Ephesians 4. You know, there's a right way and a wrong way to speak the truth as well. I mean, we can speak the truth out of hatred. I mean, we can tell somebody, you are going to hell because you're not saved. And inside, we may despise him. It's kind of like Jonah and the people of Nineveh. I mean, we look at what happened with Nineveh and we say, praise God, a whole city gets saved. But that's not how Jonah looked at it at all. Jonah was angry. And Jonah said, Lord, wasn't this my saying? He knew that God was very gracious and long-suffering, and he did not want to go to Nineveh because he just had an inkling that they might repent and get saved, and then God wouldn't judge him, and Jonah wanted God to judge them. And so we have to watch our hearts as well. You know, there may be people in this world, for whatever reason, maybe have done you wrong or just have done just heinous things. But our greatest desire should be to see them saved, not just destroyed. But Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in what? In love. May grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. So our greatest desire should be to see people saved, not to see them die and then be cast into hell. Now Moses was said to be the meekest man upon the face of the earth in Numbers 12:3. But on one occasion, he spoke out of anger. And there's sometimes he spoke in anger that was righteous anger, like in Exodus 32, when he come down from the mount and he saw their dancing, the loud music, the wild music, their nakedness, and he was angry. And he ground that idol, that golden calf, to powder and made them drink of it, cast it in the water. But in Numbers 20, let's look, here was an occasion where the fire came out of his mouth, but it wasn't in the right spirit, and he went against what God said because he was angry with the people. In Numbers 20, so the closest we will ever come as Christians to the fire of hell was right here, our mouths. How many times do we offend our families? You know, when I haven't done many weddings in my lifetime, but, you know, as I stand there and wedding a couple, I think, you know what, you know, when a couple first gets married, I mean, they love each other supremely. There's only one person they love more, and that's God. But as we stand there at the wedding altar, I just know that there's one thing that with all of us, hurts our relationships. Just one thing. It's the fire of hell right here. It's this mouth saying things that offend our loved ones. Saying things that are selfish. Instead of having a servant's heart, it's saying what we want. Well, I'm tired of going to McDonald's. I want to go to Burger King or whatever it is. This mouth is so selfish. And when it opens in selfishness, it's a flamethrower. I was playing with all kinds of titles for this message. You know, I thought of new fire-breathing species discovered. And I just all kinds of titles. Because that's the way it is, this tongue. Numbers 20, verse 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and what? Speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts to drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now ye what? Rebels. You know, God had called them rebels. But here, Moses is in a different spirit. Hear now ye rebels, must we fetch you water from out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he what? Smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. So our tongues can be so offensive. It was this, here now, ye rebels. You know, if it was us, we probably would have gotten so upset with those people so much earlier. And Moses was so patient with them. But on this occasion, the fire came out, and it cost him leading the children of Israel into the promised land. Let's go back to James 3. So our tongues are as close as we will ever get to the fire of hell. Because our tongues, verse 1, are boasters, they're know-it-alls. Verse 2, our tongues are habitual offenders. Number 3, our tongues are boasters. There in verses 3 through 5. 3 through 5. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and what? Boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Our tongues are boasters. You know, why do we boast about things? We can't do anything. I mean, if it wasn't for God's grace, none of us would be here this morning. We all could be on our backs laying in pain all the time. Last night, I went to my folks' house, and my dad turned 78 on today. And but on the way there, as we were getting, I don't know, within a couple miles of their house, there was some emergency flashers on. And then there was this little faint light being swished around in the air. And so I slowed down. And the guy had just hit a deer, and the deer was right on the center line and still alive. And I told my wife, I said, you know, if we would have been just, you know, a few minutes earlier, that could have just as well been us hitting that deer. And there's so many things. I mean, how close... what's the closest occasion you've ever come to death? At my dad's birthday party, they were talking about occasions where people had gone very fast. And so they were sharing their experiences, and they looked at me and asked me the question. And so I didn't share the one that I've shared with you sometimes about being with a boy who ran a stop sign. And that was the closest to death I thought I ever came. But I told him about being with my uncle on a motorcycle, and he was going over 100 miles an hour on two different occasions with two different motorcycles. And if my folks would have ever known that, they would have never let me ride with that crazy man. But I can remember, and of course I didn't know he was going that fast till we stopped, and then he told me how fast he took me on that ride. But nothing to hang on to except for him. So he said, put your arms around my waist. So here I'm putting my arms around his waist, and his windbreaker is just flapping, you know, right in my face that he's wearing, going that fast. It's just crazy, crazy. And none of us know how close we have come, really, to death. But notice with me in 1 Corinthians 4, none of us would even be here, but by the grace of God. And which means that he has something that he wants us to do. Sometimes I know people, especially when they get a terminal illness or something, or they've just been sick a long time, and they often start thinking, why am I here? Why am I here? And many times they've said that to me, why am I here? Why am I here? Because they just think their life is worthless. But as long as we are here, God has something for us to do. Maybe it's praying for someone. I handed that note out to you from Brother Wall this morning just to let you know how our missionaries appreciate our prayer and how important it is to them. We need to pray for Brother Helzerman up there working on the house and his family back wherever they've been staying. And we really need to pray for them. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 7, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not, what, receive? You know, these sports players that that are so conceited. Who gave them those arms and those legs to excel so much in sports? God. Then why do they boast as if they are something big? What hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? You know, sometimes those same people will dishonor their parents. Well, God used their parents to bring them into this world. And part of their genetic makeup is God brought through their parents. And yet they are so proud as if they made themselves. Notice in John 15, you know, without the Lord, we can't do anything. You know, we make plans for security. We make plans to protect our family. But the bottom line is we have to say to God, you know, God, the family is down now to rest for the night. But God, I can't protect my family. There's any number of things that could happen. There's storms that could happen. One of our gospel tracts, Storms in the Night, I think there's at least three instances in there where little children were killed in the middle of the night. Trees falling on their homes, different things. And one of them, the mother had gotten in bed with the child because the child was afraid. And the tree fell on the house and killed the child. I'm not sure if the mother died in that or not. So here was a parent that wanted to comfort the child, but the bottom line is we have no strength in of ourselves to protect anyone, let alone ourselves. In John 15, verse 5, John 55, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do what? Nothing. Nothing. So back in James 3, our tongues are know-it-alls. Our tongues are habitual offenders. Our tongues are boasters. And number four, our tongues are arsonists. Verse 6, James 3, 6. And the tongue is a what? A fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and what? Setteth on fire. That's an arsonist. Setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. One time at our previous place where we lived, we had some burn barrels where we burned our trash. And on one occasion, we were coming out of the house. I believe we were coming out of the house to go somewhere. And suddenly, I saw all this orange. The fire had gotten away out of the barrels and was headed toward the neighbor's house. And I didn't know what to grab. It was bad. And the only thing that I could find was a hockey stick. The problem was, I think it was like a goalie's hockey stick. It was a tall one, but it was plastic. And so I went out and started beating at that fire. And of course, it didn't take too long, and that plastic got hot. And I can remember my face was so hot, but I was just thinking, I don't care if I get burnt or not. I don't want the neighbor's house to burn down. So I was just swatting at that fire as fast as I could. And then some of the other neighbors came, and the neighbor that was going toward his house, I don't know what got his attention, but he looked out that window of the house, and he said he could feel the heat of the fire right through the windows. So it was a miracle, because normally vinyl siding, when it gets that warm, begins to sag and wilt. And it didn't ruin any of the siding on his house. And I apologized up and down to him and offered to buy him trees or whatever, and he wouldn't take anything. He was very gracious. He could have been so mad at me for that, but he was so gracious. But the tongue starts fires that are so hard to put out. It's a world of iniquity. It's an arsonist. It setteth on fire the course of nature. So, you know, a match is just one little stick of wood. And with that one little stick of wood, I can start a fire that will burn down tens of thousands of trees, huge trees. That one little splinter of wood can start a fire that will consume millions more times its mass. And it's the same with our tongues. This little thing in our mouths that wags all the time, it can set a fire that just destroys. The matchstick can destroy tens of thousands of acres, and this little thing that wags in our mouths can destroy so many people and hurt so many people. So our tongues are arsonists, verse 6. Number 5, our tongues are unruly. It's kind of like our hair. Now, with my ear, I can't lay on my bed here, and so I just have to sit up at night because of the way it drains. And so here I am all night trying to sit up against that pillow. And so I get up in the morning and I have a bad hair day. You know, my hair is sticking in all kinds of funny directions on that side. Well, the tongue is like that, really unruly. Verse 7 and 8. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can what? No man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. So just the time we think we have the tongue tamed, we don't. So Wednesday night I was speaking about walking with God. And then I say something stupid. And it's just, you know, the moment we think we have the tongue on a leash, it proves us wrong. Proves us wrong. Verse 8 goes on. Number 6, our tongues are poison. Verse 8, it says there, last part of the verse, full of deadly poison. Our tongues are poison. Notice with me in Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18. I don't like snakes. I'm told in some places rattlesnakes are protected. I don't know who made that law. But the only good rattlesnake is a dead rattlesnake in my book. But Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of what? The tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So, our tongues. And so, this week, when I've been enduring this ear infection and the pain in the ear, and I just think, Lord, how many people have I hurt in my life by my words? I have no clue. You know, maybe I've said something that's hurt your feelings at times, and maybe it's only because you're so gracious that, you know, you don't throw it back in my face. The Bible says, "Great peace have they which love thy law; nothing shall offend them." And so, you know, you may hear things that you just don't get offended because you love the Lord and you love His Word, and that just ends it all for you. But through my ordeal this week, it made me think and to just stop. Lord, the closest we will come to hell is really close. The fire of hell is really close because it's right here. And just in closing at James 3:6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. That is our tongues. It is set on fire of hell. And so as we stop and think about our relationship with other Christians and our relationship with our families, I have never struck my wife before, but I know my words have hurt at times. And just words. Our lives would go so much better if it wasn't for that fire in our mouths, the words that we speak that we shouldn't speak. And my wife and I were at a gathering on an occasion, and it was actually relatives occasion. But as I've mentioned to you before, both of my grandparents were saved as adults, and so their lives were transformed, and they raised their children then in Baptist churches. And but their children didn't all raise their children in Baptist churches. And so on this occasion, we were just listening, and I said to her, I says, "Wow, things are really going downhill. Really going downhill. Just the bad talk. The bad talk." And so we just need to be so careful about what we say. I dare say marriages would be so much stronger if it just wasn't for the fire of hell that's displayed in marriage. The selfishness, unforgiving, unlong-suffering, just that comes out of our mouths, life would go so much better. The Bible says, "He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction." May the Lord help us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to ponder these thoughts, even as in my own life this week, just thinking of the pain that the ear can suffer, and then thinking a different aspect about the pain that is introduced into life through the ears because of things that maybe we say. Maybe we're just not as conscious as we should be about other people's feelings, the things we say, or maybe we just say something selfish, or maybe we say something in anger, or maybe we open our mouths when we don't even know what we're talking about. We just open it as if we did. Lord, there are so many ways that we show that wrong spirit, the fire of hell with these tongues. And Lord, we know it's out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. And so, Lord, we lay our hearts open before you today, not just our tongues, because we know that it's the heart that controls the tongue. So, Lord, I pray that you would search our hearts and know our thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in us and lead us in the way everlasting. Lord, we know that your word says no man can tame the tongue. So, Lord, we hand it over to you. We know we can't tame it, but we know you can. So we yield our hearts, our tongues, our lives to you. And we'll just commit that to you in Jesus' name. Amen.